Well, good morning, everybody. Happy New Year. It's good to be with you. We've got some New Year messages today. Let me start then by reading a few words from the scriptures, and then we'll pray together and sing. These words come from Philippians and chapter 3, where the apostle says, "Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." Let's pray. Our dear Lord Jesus, we, your people, are waiting for you to appear from heaven and to transform our lowly bodies into the likeness of your glorious body, by that wonderful power by which you are able to even subdue all things to yourself. And Lord, while we wait here, we pray that you would subdue our hearts to yourself, that we might be born again by your Holy Spirit, that we might be renewed in ourselves according to everlasting life, no longer once who we were, but now who you are and in you. Lord, we pray for your help then, for your Holy Spirit to be among us, for your word to have its way with us today, for your glory's sake and for our good. Amen. We're thinking this morning about the new birth. So if you turn with me to Psalm 51 for our first reading, Psalm 51, where we see the psalmist here, David, is aching for new birth. He's conscious, as we read through the psalm, you'll see it, he's conscious of his need to be remade by the Holy Spirit. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned, and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar." Amen. May God teach us true repentance to seek him for the new life that only he can give. Now turn with me to 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll read the whole chapter here. It opens with a hope of the resurrection. Paul is using a metaphor. He's speaking of our earthly house, this tent, in verse 1. And by that, he's referring to our physical bodies. He says, if our earthly tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, talking about the hope of the resurrection from the dead. And this hope of the resurrection, in verses 1 to 8, is based on the new life that Jesus Christ gives to us. In verse 17, we are new creations as we trust in Jesus Christ. And that, in turn, is based, in verse 18 to 21, on the life that Jesus gives to us. So it's a wonderful flow through the chapter. The hope of the resurrection, based on the new life that he gives to us now, based on the life that he gave for us, even his own. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, as has committed and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word to us. Turn with me then in your Bibles, please, to John's Gospel and chapter 3, the classic text for the new birth. You see, it's New Year, and you know what people say at New Year? New Year, new me. New Year, new me. Well, here in John chapter 3, we learn about the new me. We meet a man here called Nicodemus. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus was almost certainly destined for eminence among his peers, even from a young age. He was educated in the scriptures and in the languages of the scriptures. He was raised under the law of Moses. More than most people, he will have listened to the law of Moses being read, all the Old Testament. He will have learned it well and taught it for all his professional life, as it were. He would have memorized large chunks of it. He would have recited it. He almost certainly knew it better than all of us. He became a religious leader. He even became what is called a Pharisee. Now, Paul talks about Pharisees in Acts 26, and he says that they are the strictest sect of the religion, absolutely given over to scripture, interpretation, and application. He was even a member of the Sanhedrin. You get that in John 3, verse 1. Your translation might say something like a member of the ruling council or a ruler of the Jews. A reference there to the Sanhedrin. Now, the Sanhedrin was a selection of men, the top 70 in all Israel. That's the idea. The top 70 most educated, most spiritually advanced, the ones who were better off in the scriptures and so forth. These top 70, that's the council. And Nicodemus is among them. And even among them, he seems to have had some sort of preeminence. In verse 10 of John 3, Jesus says, "Are you not the teacher of Israel?" So maybe he was, let's say he was in the top 10 of the top 70, shall we? His whole life was hearing the word of God, teaching the word of God, explaining the word of God, applying the word of God, interpreting the word of God. And he was absolutely steeped in it, raised in it, trained for it. But then, Jesus appeared. A common laborer out of the northern backwaters of Nazareth. He had a funny accent. He had no formal training. But wowzers, did he know the scriptures? Boys Bach, could he preach? Could he teach the word of God unlike anybody else? No one ever spoke like this man. Nicodemus was struck by this. He was captured by it. It must have puzzled him. Perhaps it infuriated him. Perhaps it frustrated him. But he was amazed at this newness that he saw in Jesus, that he heard in his teaching, and he wanted to know what it meant. And so it says in verse 2 that by night, the teacher of Israel sought a private lesson from this carpenter from Nazareth. Why do you think he went at night? Well, generally, we usually explain it like this. Maybe he was ashamed. Maybe he was a bit coy about his interest in Jesus. He didn't want the boys to know that he was interested in Jesus, least of all his colleagues. I wonder if you're a bit like that. Would you like to have an anonymous private lesson with Jesus where you can ask him, "Jesus, what's it all about? Is it all true? What does it all mean?" without anyone ever finding out? Well, that's what we have in John chapter 3. Someone who wants to know what's it all about goes and finds Jesus for a private lesson. Here we go then, John chapter 3. Verses 1 to 21. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi,'" that means teacher, "'we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." The Lord Jesus began his ministry, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." The kingdom of God was his big theme, especially when you read through Matthew's gospel. It is absolutely everywhere, even the opening words of his ministry. The kingdom of God. And we can talk all day about what those three words mean. But let's say for this morning that it means peace with God and harmony with his rule in your life. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Nicodemus wants to know, what is that all about? Jesus says, you must be born again if you want to see, if you want to enter the kingdom of God. But now we have a new question. What's that all about? What's the new birth? What's going on? Well, let's talk about the new birth this morning. I've got two things to tell you. One, it's new. New birth is new. What's the newest thing that you can imagine? You might think of a new song that's just come out. No one's ever heard it before. There it is, brand new. A new car. Smells nice, usually. Nice leather seats. No dents in it. Maybe the clothes that you're wearing this morning, are they new clothes for Christmas? Still have the label on because you haven't decided whether you're keeping it or not? The newest thing which I suppose Nicodemus and Jesus would have known is a newborn baby. When was the last time you held a newborn baby? Was it Aaron? Was it Jonas? Do you remember what it was like? Remember how they look, how soft their skin is, how tiny their little fingernails are, brand new. They even smell new, don't they? Newborn babies. They've yet to have their first shoes or their first cold, their first jewelry, their first solid food. Jesus says, you must be born again. You, Nicodemus, you must turn over a new leaf. No. You need a new perspective on life. No. What you need is a New Year's resolution and to stick to it. No. You need new priorities. No. A new outlook. No. You need to be born again. You need to be as new as a newborn baby, Nicodemus. You must be born again if you want to see the kingdom of God, totally brand new. If Nicodemus needs to be brand new, what does that say about the way that he is already? Is he fit enough already? Is he good enough already? No. Griff's right, he's not. Not at all. It's as if Nicodemus comes to Jesus to be made fit for the kingdom of God, and Jesus finds absolutely nothing in him to work with. He has to start over. Your starting point, Nicodemus, is not good enough. In fact, it is not good at all. You need, Nicodemus, a fresh start. Do you think that's true of you? That you need a fresh start, new birth, to start again? If it is true of Nicodemus, who knows his Bible, who loves the law, who lives for righteousness, a Pharisee, one of the top 70 in all of Israel, how much more true is it of you and me? We must be born again if we want to see or enter the kingdom of God, if we want to have peace with God and harmony with his rule in our life. We come to Jesus, Lord, I want heaven, I want forgiveness, I want the kingdom of God, I want to have real life, I want to have meaning, I want to be fixed inside. He says, you need to be made new. The reason that we need to be made new is that as we are sinful, ruined, corrupted, we are beyond repair. Not just not good enough, but not good at all. Is there any part of us, you think, that is unspoiled by sin? Okay, some parts of my life, I know I've got these weaknesses. Is there any part of me at all, though, that is untouched by sin? We read Psalm 51 earlier. I was brought forth in sin, born into iniquity. Jesus said, it is out of the heart that all these wicked and evil thoughts come. Jeremiah said, the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Deceitful and dark. Every part of us is touched and spoiled by sin, and nothing has been left out. Our wills, the things that we want, our emotions, the way that we feel, the way that we react, our instincts, even the things that we think we are innocent of, the ways that we instinctively react and think and feel and respond to things, ruined by sin. Our hearts, our minds, the way that we love, what we love, how we love, ruined, all of it. All that we are naturally is against us when it comes to the kingdom of God, and so it needs to be removed, destroyed, before we can be made new. Do you remember that man on the telly with the funny name, funny man, funny name, Gok Wan? Do you remember him? Oh, some people do, not everyone. I don't think the younger ones will. Gok Wan, funny man on the telly with a funny name. And what his job was, is he'd find some hopeless case who's got a terrible sense of fashion. So I got it in the neck last week for wearing a burgundy shirt with white snowflakes and a blue tie. And so he would come to people like me. And he'd say, sorry, you are a hopeless case. There is nothing to work with. I'm going to have to get rid of all of your clothes and start again. I've got to undo all of the rubbish and redesign your whole wardrobe into something that is good. It's a bit like that, this interaction between Nicodemus and the Lord Jesus. Nicodemus comes to him and says, I want new life. I want to know what's going on. I want to know what your teaching's all about. I want the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, there's nothing here to work with, Nicodemus. You need to be born again. It all needs to be thrown out and started again. It is so radical, the change that is needed in us, that the Bible talks about us dying to sin. Dead. You need to die. You need to be crucified with Jesus if you're to be alive to the Father, if you're to walk in the newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5, we read earlier, you need to be a new creation. The old things have to have passed away, gone. There is a silly idea going around, and I want you to be aware of it, that human beings are naturally okay in themselves. That many of us, maybe not all of us, are good enough for heaven, but most of us surely are nearly there. There's something to work with in all of us, and maybe we just need God to give us a helping hand. If he could just top us up a little bit and give us what we're missing, and then we'll be good enough for heaven. Usually people talk about sincerity. Sincerity as the supreme virtue. So long as you've got sincerity, so long as you really mean it, so long as you really are being honest and full of integrity when you want to live a good life and try to reach God and reach the kingdom of heaven, all you need then is a top up and you'll be okay. All you need is to receive the Holy Spirit. All you need is to receive the grace of God. All you need is to come to Jesus. Now, all those things are needful, aren't they? Don't get me wrong. But considering them something that tops us up, something that is added to us to make us right, is wrong. Jesus says, you don't need these things in addition to you. You need these things instead of you. You need to be spoiled, ruined, destroyed, turned inside out, thrown out, and start again. New birth. Did you know, fact of the day for you, the Statue of Liberty is facing the wrong way? I don't know how that happened, but she's facing the wrong way. So let's say we want to turn her to face the right way. How do you do that? You can't just grab hold of her and twist her, can you? Doesn't work. She would have to be completely demolished and rebuilt facing the right way. When the Holy Spirit works in somebody to give them new life, to make them a Christian, he doesn't just add his graces to any goodness which is in us, so that the sum of it now grants us the kingdom of God. But while we are facing the wrong way, while we're thinking the wrong way, while we're feeling the wrong way and living the wrong way, while we're running straight to hell, he demolishes us and remakes us new in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You have to be born again. New. There's the first one. New birth, new. Second thing, new birth is necessary. Jesus says in verse 6, you must be born again. One of the most famous preachers ever was a man by the name of George Whitefield. And he went around and he used to preach this message quite often. You must be born again. And there was a lady that followed him around and heard that same sermon repeatedly. You must be born again. And one day she asked him, Mr. Whitefield, why do you keep telling us that we must be born again? And he replied, because, madam, you must be born again. A lawyer moves to Maisukuma, seeking employment. And he visits all the many law firms that there are in this esteemed town. And he has in his briefcase many qualifications. And he's got a long list of all of his work experience. He's got all of his degrees up there with the embossed lettering and the shiny stamps. He's got passion. He's got zing. He's got ideas. He's young. He's got everything. He's armed to the teeth with knowledge, understanding. He can see into the future and knows where the profession is going. But he can't find anyone to employ him. Why is that? Well, when he comes to the interviews and he impresses with his wonderful mustache and his eloquence and his speech, they do their research later and find that there's an arrest warrant out for him for crimes that he has committed. And it's a great pity because for all of his qualifications, he was disqualified from the job that he wanted. Nicodemus has qualifications and privileges coming out of his years. He's a Jew. He's a Pharisee. He's a member of the Sanhedrin. He knows so many of the scriptures. And yet here is this labourer who tells him that when you add it all up together, zero. Without the new birth, it all counts up as nothing. For all of his qualification, he was still disqualified because it is necessary that he is born again. What is your qualification this morning? I'd be surprised if there are any Jews here. I'd certainly be surprised if there are any Pharisees here. I'm sure there's no members of the Sanhedrin here. But we come to the like Nicodemus to Jesus with all of our qualifications. I'm a Christian, just like my parents before me. I have several Bibles at home and I read them sometimes. I say my prayers and I'm sincere. I do good works. I serve the church. I'm full of honesty and integrity. I mean well. I do my best. I believe in common virtues. And Jesus says, for all of these sacrifices, for all of these donations, for all these qualifications, for all this good stuff, when it comes to the kingdom of God, it is worthless because you must be born again. Someone who really understands this is the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 to 8. He outlines many of his own qualifications. Oh, there I am in Ephesians. Philippians chapter 3, he outlines many of his qualifications and what he thinks of them. Philippians 3 from verse 4, although I might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he might have confidence in the flesh, I more so, he says. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I'm from the stock of Israel. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin, which had a certain degree of reputation. I am a Hebrew of the Hebrews. If anyone's a Hebrew, I'm a Hebrew, he's saying. Concerning zeal in verse 6, I was persecuting the church. That's how zealous I was for true religion. That's how sincere I was. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, I was blameless. Nobody could touch my record. But, he says in verse 7, what things were gained to me, these things I have counted loss for Christ. Yes, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. The Apostle Paul counted all of his qualifications as rubbish, as worthless, compared to one thing. Just one thing to outweigh all of his privilege. One thing that he needed. One thing that was necessary. To know Jesus Christ. Nicodemus needed to learn this lesson, and so do we. Knowing Jesus gives us the new life which we need to enter the kingdom of God. And there is no stepping stone anywhere else. There's no stepping stone to the kingdom of heaven in a decent lifestyle, in moral living, in churching, going to church and doing churchy stuff, in good habits. We must be born again. We must come to know Jesus and know the life which he has to give. I think it's a wonderfully personal thing. You see how they speak to one another. In verse 2 of John 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he says, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher from God because so and so. We know. But Jesus cuts through that with a singular in verse 3. You must be born again. It comes out in the KJV better than any other English translation. You, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Paul says, I am the chief of sinners. He says, Jesus gave himself for me, and he loved me. Can you say these things? What about you? Are you born again? It's a personal thing. Charles Spurgeon, another famous preacher, he was in the habit of putting his own name into John 3, verse 16. So if you look up that verse, he used to read it like this. For God so loved Charles Spurgeon that he gave his only begotten Son so that Charles Spurgeon believes in him and should not perish but have everlasting life. That's a nice thing to do. And you can do that. But if you're going to do that, you've got to put your name here as well. You must be born again. You must be born again, demolished and rebuilt by the Holy Spirit. Nicodemus needed it for all of his qualification. Paul needed it. I needed it. You need it too. Okay, let's finish with two questions. First of all, how can this be? Nicodemus says in verse 9, how can this be? How can I be born again? How does this work? What do you mean? What is this? How can I be demolished and made new? How can I be rid of my sin and know Jesus and the life that he has to give? Well, Jesus answers from verse 14 onwards when he says, when the Son of Man is lifted up. The new birth, the new life that we have is possible when Jesus is lifted up on the cross before the eyes of our soul. It is at the cross that the Lord Jesus takes all that we need to lose and he gives us all that we need to gain. It is at the cross that the Lord Jesus took our sin and our failure and our crookedness and all of our disqualification, all of our pride and all of our sincerity. He took it all away. And it's at the cross that he gives us all that we need. Himself. Cleansing. New life. The Holy Spirit. We go to lose our old self and he takes it. We go to find a new life and he gives it. Look at verses 15, 14 and 15 there in chapter 3 of John's Gospel. Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ is lifted as crucified, and the result of that is that all those who believe in him have eternal life in him, it says, in Christ. How can this be? It is in Christ that we find what we are looking for and what we need. We need the new birth, and so the Son of God was born for us. We need righteousness. And so he lived our perfect life for us. We need to die for our sins. So he died for us. We needed to have new life. So he was raised from the dead to give it to us. We need to be reconciled to the Father. So he ascended for us. We need to be rescued from this dead-end life that we live. And so he's coming again for us. You and I, we cannot earn life ourselves. We cannot even earn it from Jesus. But he has already got it for us. If we believe in him, we'll have it. He will give it to us. So how can this be? The Lord Jesus Christ crucified for us. Last question, few sentences. How can I be born again? How can I be born again? That's a good question. I hope you're thinking it. Good question. I think this question sometimes. I asked my grandpa once, when I was little, I was struggling with these things, and at the time I hadn't been born again. So I asked my grandpa, Grandpa, how can I be born again? And his answer was absolutely right. It was many years ago now, and it stays in my mind. We were in a breaking down little burgundy micra going underneath Maesacuma Viaduct, and as we came up the other side into Ushermanach, he said, the answer isn't in reading your Bible, going to church. It's not your mum and your dad. The answer to how can I be born again is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is how you are saved. Not a process, not a deed, not a number of deeds all added up in the end, not sincerity, not church attendance, not even going to some confessional booth or reading a creed or your Bible. How you are saved is a person, Jesus Christ. You must be born again. You must know Jesus Christ. He alone can demolish the old you by his Spirit and give you a new life. Only he has the authority and the power to give you what you need. Only he can help you. We must all be born again. We must all go to the Lord Jesus Christ and confess with Paul in Philippians 3, Lord, I have nothing without you. Please give me your new life. Amen. For his name's sake, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd forgive us for our slowness of heart and our dimness of sight. How difficult it is for us to wrap our heads around the simplicity of this good news, that when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he will save us from our sins. Father, we pray that you should send the Lord Jesus to us afresh in the power of the Holy Spirit, that he might give us the new life that he talks about. We thank you for his lovely gentleness with Nicodemus here on this night. We thank you that Nicodemus did come to see the Lord Jesus Christ for who he is, and he did trust in him, and he loved him with all of his heart, his soul, his mind, and his strength, and found in him the fulfillment of his whole life. And we pray, Lord, that you do that for us. Again, we pray. Though many of us here this morning, Lord, have already been born again and have seen the light, we pray that you might renew it to us, that that rubbish that is still in our lives, the sin that is still in our members, would be put away and done away with and forgiven and repented of, and that we might walk in the newness of the life that Jesus has come to give us in the Holy Spirit. So we pray, Father, have your way with us, please, and make us more like Jesus every day, trusting him for all that we need. Amen.